We are studying the book of Jude. Jude was the one of the half brothers of Jesus Christ. He wrote this book to Jewish Christians. Actually, he wanted to write a joyful thing. Even me, I want to share joyful thing because we are celebrating, singing Christmas songs, and we have lights, Christmas trees. Then I want to share joyful thing. The salvation of Christ, his birth. But here Jude, actually he want to write joyful thing, but he wrote serious thing because of false teachers. This is the urgent thing that church must know. As we Christians, brothers and sisters, we must uphold Christ's glory in our life. In what ways we can uphold Christ's glory? To love him, by loving him, obeying his word. We can bring glory to Christ by our obedience. But we can also uphold Christ's glory fighting for the faith, fighting for the sound doctrine, because of there are many false teachers came into the church and preaching wrong doctrines. Because of that, we should fight. If we won't fight, the church will become very weak in that situation. So we need to focus on. You may be asked, why should we fight for the faith? Today we are going to know the strong reasons why we must fight for the faith by Jude message. Jude was 3 and 4. Jude was 3 and 4. There is only one chapter. Jude was 3 and 4. Beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you, appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all handed down to the saints. Verse 4 says, for certain persons have crept in unnoticed, those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. When we see this verse, we can understand the theme of this passage. We can look the fight for the faith to uphold Christ's glory. Verse 3 says, beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about common salvation, I felt necessity to write you appealing you contend earnestly for the faith. That means here Jude exhorting the church to exercise intense effort on behalf of the faith. What is the faith? Faith is which is believed or teaching, Christian message. Paul can call the message itself faith. In this context, faith is sound doctrine, sound teaching. We should fight for that. Here, Jude is calling the church, exhorting the church. We uphold Christ's glory when we follow him, when we fight for the sound doctrine. Verse 4 says, ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. These are the false teachers. They are denying the Lord Jesus Christ. They are not upholding Christ's glory. But when we uphold Christ's glory, the false teachers will run away. We have to fight. When we fight for the sound doctrine, Christ will be glorified in our life. Christ's lordship will be highly exalted through our obedience to Jude's message. Three strong reasons that the church must fight for the faith. First strong reason that church must fight for the faith is the priorities of the loving teacher for the church. The priorities of the loving teacher for the faith, for the church. Verse 3 says, Beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I felt necessity to write to you, appealing. Jude called the church beloved. That itself saying that Jude is loving the church. He loves the church so much. See, he is calling beloved. I love you. He said. Then see the words, making every effort, felt the necessity. He concerned the church. Based on these words, we can understand here the Jude. Jude is loving the church. Two attitudes of the loving teacher. First attitude of the loving teacher is, he seeks the church's spiritual advantage. He seeks the church's spiritual advantage. Verse 3, he says, I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation. He is seeking the church advantages. Here see the word effort. Effort means earnestness, striving after something. Here Jude was writing the letter diligently about common salvation, which is referred to the exposition of the content of the gospel, Christian gospel. He wanted to write that one earnestly. Striving after advantage. He is seeking advantage of church. Writing letter also shows how much Jude loving the church. He said that I felt necessity. Necessity imposed either by external condition of the things. The necessity is the pressure of concern for others. Here Jude felt the pressure for concern of the church. That's why he said, contend for the faith. Second attitude of the loving teacher is, he encourages the church to fight. He encourages the church to fight. Verse 3 says, appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith. See the word appealing. Appealing means urge strongly, exhort, we can call encourage, to make strong request for something. Here Jude strongly urges the church. He is making request. Church, you must contend for the faith, for the sound doctrine. He is not demanding teacher, but he is the loving teacher. Because there are many members in the church, they come to church, they listen word of God, but they won't fight for the sound doctrine. They won't care. I came, I listened, I go to my home. So that is not my business. But here, Jude is begging them, encouraging them, imploring, entreats them that please, you should fight, each and every one of us. Sitting in this hall, you must fight for the faith, sound doctrine, because of there are many false teachers there in the church. He is not urging some of the church members, all of them must do it, live for it. Paul, even the best example, brothers and sisters, he always seeks advantage of the church. He teaches, he writes letters for the advantages. He has the concern upon the church. He said, Philippians chapter 3 verse 2, he says, beware of the dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the false circumcision. Beware, three times he mentioned. That means he is exhorting, he is warning the church. Why? Because he has the concern upon the church. Because these are the loving teachers. They have love on the church. Brothers and sisters, our teachers work diligently Therefore, we must protect sound doctrine. If the loving teacher is fighting for the sound doctrine, we must fight for the sound doctrine along with him. Along with him. So that is our privilege, our duty. We must do that. We must follow. In what ways we can fight? We have to understand. We must follow the sound teaching, first of all. You must teach right doctrine to other members, not false teachings. For example, if someone says that Jesus is also one of the way, you must say, you must believe, no, Jesus is the only way. But false teachers will say like that. You must stand for the truth. If someone says, we can live our life whatever we pleases, whatever we want, we live in that. But that is not biblical, right? We should live holy life if we understand the grace of God. If someone says, we no need to go to the church, let us start online meetings, Zoom meetings, no gatherings at all. Those are the people coming to church and preaching those things. Those are the false teachings. That time you should stand for the sound doctrine. We must have the fellowship. I gave just some example. Whatever things were written in the Bible, we should stand for that. We should fight for that because of false teachers. Second strong reason that the church must fight for the faith is the preciousness of the doctrine of the church. The preciousness of the doctrine of the church. Verse 3, he says, you contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all handed down to the saints. Once for all handed down to the saints. Three reasons why the faith is precious. Three reasons why the faith is precious. First reason why the faith is precious is because the church received it once for all. The church received it once for all. Verse 3 says, once for all. Once for all seems to indicate that the doctrinal conviction of early church had been organized and fixed. We can say it refers to the something that is accomplished, completed. God delivered his full revelation completely, completely in scripture. That's why Revelation chapter 22 verse 18 says, I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to the book, God will add to him the plagues which are written in this book. Verse 19 says, and if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city. It is very serious, brothers and sisters. God is very serious about the word of God. Some people are trying to preach other things, but we should stand for that. God's word is all sufficient, so believers need to contend for the faith. For us also, brothers and sisters, the doctrine handed down once for all, 66 books are sufficient for our life. It is enough. Second reason why the faith is precious is because it is the apostle teaching. It is the apostle's teaching. The letter of Jude is a corrective letter intended to confirm the truth of the Peter's letter, 2 Peter, that encourages the saints must to ground their faith in written documents of the church rather than listening false teachers, their teachings. Brothers and sisters, the letter of Jude illustrates the necessity of the church, the necessity of the church to cling authority of scripture. So many false teachers are rising in the church. Why? What is the reason? Because church is not devoted. Church is not devoting to the apostle teaching. Because of that, Many false teachers are rising. And you see, if Penhin conduct one meeting, so many people go to there. Lakhs of people go. Even in Andhra, even in India, wherever it is, when false teacher is conducting meeting, preaching, so many people will come. Why these people are running after them? Because they are not devoting themselves to the apostle teaching. They forget the Bible, apostle teaching, but just focusing on men. Whatever their preachers, listening to them. Because of that only, everybody is going after those false teachers. We have here 50 members, I think so. But when false teachers conduct meeting, many will go. Because they preach us what audience likes. But I am so glad you are dedicated to the apostle teaching in Cornerstone Community Church. Please proceed that. Because Acts chapter 2, verse 42 says, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostle teaching and to the fellowship. The early church followed. We must follow those things. All sound teachings comes through the apostles. We should listen to them, not anybody else, brothers and sisters. Those writings, teachings have authority that will help you to stand, that will help you to follow Christ Jesus, but not other teachings. Why the faith, the sound doctrine is so precious? Because it is apostle teaching. Third reason why the faith is precious, because it is God's revelation. Because it is God's revelation. We must fight for the sound doctrine because it is God's revelation. His word. His word is sufficient for us. We no need to listen any other. See, even apostle teachings comes by God. You know, 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16 says, all scripture is inspired by God. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 21 says, for no prophecy was ever made by any act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. You are holding Bible. The words came from God, by God, by using apostles. Why sound teaching, the faith is so precious? Because it is from God. It is from God. Brothers and sisters, doctrine is valuable. So we must make sure it is not stolen or lost. Early church has done that. As a church, Cornerstone Community Church, we must protect the sound teaching. The word of God is sufficient, so we need to protect. It is so precious than anything. We know that Psalm 19 verse 10 says, they are more desirable than gold. Yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. You read the Bible in your daily life. Try to read the books, biblical books. And also, church is providing grace to you, books. You take that. When you have free time, read it. Know the truth. Know the sound doctrine. So that you can fight. If you don't know the sound doctrine, if you don't know the word of God, how you will fight? The word of God is the weapon to fight against false teachers. Third strong reason that the church must fight for the faith is the presence of dangerous teachers in the church. The presence of dangerous teachers in the church. Verse 4 says, for certain persons have crept in unnoticed, those who are long before marked out for this condemnation. It says they are ungodly persons. Means, the presence of the dangerous false teachers in the church. Because of that, Satan's key strategy is disturbing the church. His focus is on disturbing that sound doctrine. So many people think that Saturn do all jantar mantar, like all other things. Sleeping time, he will take the pillow and he will do something. No, his focus is disturb the sound teaching. It's true, so many people, Christians will think that when I'm going in darkness, he will do something. No, he do what he will do, attacking the sound teaching. Brothers and sisters, as a church, we must fight. He uses false teachers to produce false teachings in the church. Because of that, because of their presence, we must fight. We must be alert as a church. Five characteristics of dangerous teachers in the church. Five characteristics of dangerous teachers in the church. The first characteristics of dangerous teachers in the church is they are hard to identify. They are hard to identify. Look at verse 4 says, for a certain persons have crept in unnoticed. Jude is not thinking that they will come. Peter said that they will come. But here Jude said, crept in unnoticed. They are already in the church. They came into the church. Even Jesus said that. Matthew chapter 7 verse 15. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. They are ravenous means extremely hunger. Those wolves. They are wolves, but they clothed like sheep. Jesus said, even Matthew chapter 24 verse 11, he says, many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. Paul said, Acts chapter 20 verse 29, I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves, men will rise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. The false teachers will come. But here Jude saying they already in the church. They came into the church. They existed in the church. Jesus, Paul, Peter, they said they will come, but they are in the church. Because of that, we must fight. The word crept in unnoticed. The meaning of this word is to enter secretly. To enter secretly. Do you know bed bugs? Small, wingless insects. Did you identify coming time? No. You are sleeping nicely. Then night time it will come and bite. Then you know they came. Without unnoticed. Like bed bugs. They come into the church. You know, unnoticed. I am not saying, Jude said, unnoticed. We cannot identify them. We cannot identify them. Because they are hard to identify. False teachers write books. They speak on TV. Teachers in seminaries. And the teachers, preachers, many things. By seeing their activities, we see that they are also good teachers, nice teachers. We can follow them. It is hard to identify. Slowly, slowly they will teach us heresies, wrong teachings. But starting, they are very nice. They speak spiritual things. They look very humble. I know one pastor in Andhra Pradesh. He's a false teacher, I know. But so many people go. He's such a humble man. He's a humble man. So many people think that praises him, but he teaches heresies which are against Bible, which are against Christ. We need to be careful. It is very hard, brothers and sisters. You can identify outside of the false teachers. Is it right? They openly say, we hate Jesus. The problem is with false teachers, those are in the church. Not problem with outside of the church. Because we know them. But these are the dangers. Pastors and deacons and all teachers in the church who are not good. False teachers. We should be careful. I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, read some of the books. 2 Peter, Philippians chapter 3 especially, and Colossians chapter 2, 1 John. Be careful with false teachers within the church. Usually they divide the church. They confuse the flock. True teacher is preaching right thing, when suddenly one person will teach another thing. People will be confused. Which one is right? Which one is right? So because of these things, we must be careful. We must know the characteristics of the false teachers. Second characteristics of the dangerous teachers in the church is they are marked out for judgment. They are marked out for judgment. Look at verse 4. Part B says, those who are long beforehand marked out for this condemnation. Before marked out is perfect tense to emphasize the completed action of the past action. And also it is passive. They were marked out by someone. That is, we know that they were marked out by God for this judgment, condemnation. God wrote damnation against all false teachers, brothers and sisters. They are who are silent destroyers of the sound doctrine in the church. Long ago, have received the final condemnation. Jude, not only Jude, Peter also says, 2 Peter verse 2, chapter 2 verse 3 says, their judgment from long ago is not idle. And their destruction is not asleep. Verse 4 says, for if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to pits of darkness, reserved for judgment. Verse 5 he says, did not spare the ancient world, etc. God punishes false teachers. They were marked out before long ago. That is the truth Jude is explaining. Even Paul said twice in Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 to 9, he said, he is to be cursed. He is to be accursed. Two times he mentioned. That means their punishment confirmed, pakka, long ago. God has decided that. Brothers and sisters, we should be avoid them. So, in what ways we can avoid them? Two things I can say. Run away from false teachers. Run to good teachers. These are the two principles we should follow. That time, we can avoid those people. Run away from false teachers. In what ways? We must not attend their meetings. We must not read their teachings and books. We must not invite them in our homes. We must not listen to their sermons. How big he is. We should not listen to his sermons. We must not introduce them to others. These are the ways we can avoid these people. But second thing is run to good teachers. Have fellowship with good teachers. Speak with them. Listen to their sermons. Devote to the apostle teachings, as I said. Third characteristics of dangerous teachers in the church is they are ungodly men. They are ungodly men. Look at verse 4 says, ungodly persons. He clearly mentioned ungodly person. The word ungodly person means in Greek is contrast to those who serve God, are eager to live uprightly in fear of God. So, ungodly persons are those who do not serve God, do not worship God, they won't fear God, really. They don't have eagerness to live righteous life. But they are godly, but they are ungodly. They don't have genuine fear of God, love for Him. It is true. Even though that person is preaching, teaching in big meeting, but he is ungodly person, he does not have genuine fear, genuine reverence for Christ. That is the meaning ungodly person. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 5 says, contrast friction between men of depraved mind and deprived of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. Godliness is a means of gain. They are godly because of gain something. Actually, they are not godly people. They are not God-centered. But they act like godly people. 1 Titus chapter 1 verse 16 says, they profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny Him, being detestable and disobedient and worthless for any good deed. They don't have any good deed, brothers and sisters. That is their characteristics. They act like godly men. I came to know a new thing. Pastor Chris told me that what he said, there are duplicate fronds in the market in Mumbai. They make artificial fronds which smell like real fronds. They look like fronds, but they are not fronds. The same way, brothers and sisters, same way, the false teachers are in the church. They look like godly, but they are ungodly persons who do not worship God at all. They don't have any genuine reverence and fear in God. Brothers and sisters, avoid such men. Stay away from them. Especially this church, Cornerstone Community Church, we are all should avoid those preachers, teachers. We should not even think about them. Because 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 5 says, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied it, its power. Avoid such men as these. Paul said, avoid these men. We must avoid those people. If you are not having fear, brothers and sisters, not only false teachers, even believers in church, do you have the real reverence for God? Don't think that He is preaching about false teachers. But I am speaking with you. Do you have real reverence for God? Do you have fear to live righteous life, in secret life, whatever it is? You must have that fear. You must have that reverence. But don't laugh. Those people are like that. We should be careful. We should guard ourselves. Are you a godly person? Are you a God-centered person? We must think that. Fourth characteristics of dangerous teachers in the church is they turn grace into a license to sin. They turn grace into a license to sin. Verse 4 says, but see, who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness. The meaning of licentiousness is lack of self-constraint, which involves one in conduct that violate all bounds of what is socially abundant, socially acceptable. It is the idea of perverting favor into licentiousness. They interpret divine goodness as an opportunity to ignore God, to do what they please. This issue is common today in the church. Not only false teachers, even church members, they always think grace of God. They use grace of God a license to do sin. No, we were saved by grace. So I can live in that sin only. But we should not do. Galatians chapter 5 verse 19 says, now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality. False teachers secretly fulfill their fleshly desires. Use grace of God as a license to sin. Says that who is perfect? We are saved by grace. Nobody is perfect according to Bible. Jesus Christ is perfect. Even Paul says, Romans chapter 7 verse 21, I find then the principle that evil is present in me. Verse 24 he says, wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? Here Paul says that principle evil present in me, but through Jesus Christ he obeyed the law. He obeyed Jesus Christ. See, difference is we have weakness, but we should not live in that sin continuously. That is the difference. The difference between false teachers and true teacher and believers is they live in sin willingly by using grace. But true believer, true teacher, he is not perfect, but when he has done something wrong, he will confess his sins. He did not use grace. He will change his life. He repent. He leave those sins and run to Christ. Even believers. But false teachers, they do sin. They use grace. Because of grace, I am saved. So I can live whatever I pleases. That is not right. Even Romans chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, Paul says, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Paul said that. But difference between false teachers, true teachers is like this. They won't love sins. They love Christ. They love righteous life. Brothers and sisters, you should not misuse the grace. Jesus Christ, we were all singing time. Jesus came to the earth to save us as a savior. He died on cross. We should not misuse his love. We should not misuse grace of God for our selfishness, for our sinful life. Repent and come out of it through depending on Christ. Jesus said, whatever ask in my name, it will be given to you. If you ask for overcoming the sins, definitely he will help you, brothers and sisters. If you have real, genuine repentance, he will help you. He will change you through his spirit. We must be Christ-centered. We must go to the Christ and take some counsel. If you are not able to deal with that sin, I am speaking practically, take some counsel with godly men. Go to pastor, I have this problem, I want to overcome this sin, please help me. Then he will give you some solutions. Then you, if you are a woman, go to godly woman. If you are a man, go to godly man. Ask some counseling. But don't go to everybody. They will spread your sins to everybody. But go to godly man who will hide your sins and help you come out of it. God may give that heart for Cornerstone Community Church to live righteous life. Fifth characteristics of dangerous teachers in the church is they deny Jesus Christ. They deny Jesus Christ. This is worse, right? This is worse. More worse. They deny Jesus Christ. Verse 4 says, deny our only master, Lord Jesus Christ. Here Jude is saying that false teachers disclaim association with Jesus. Deny means disclaim association with Jesus. Verbally, non-verbally. Sometimes people say, I deny Jesus. But sometimes false teachers, they deny Jesus through their actions. Through their actions. Whom do they deny? Whom do they deny? Jesus is the only master and Lord. Jesus is the only master and Lord. They are denying only master and Lord. Master means no one who has legal control and authority over persons. They deny the master who bought them. Chapter 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 1 says, in both cases, denial means disobedience of the commandment of Christ. The false teachers think themselves as masters. So they disobey only master who is sovereign of all. Romans chapter 10 verse 12 says, For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is the Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. They denied the only master and Lord. Whom do they deny? He is Messiah. Jesus is the Messiah. He is the anointed one by God who came from heaven. He is alone Christ. These false teachers deny the Messiah. You see, Peter confessed that Jesus is Christ. Mark chapter 8 verse 27. Jesus went out along with his disciples. On the way he questioned his disciples, saying to them, "Who do people say that I am?" They told him, saying, "John the Baptist. Others says Elijah. But others, one of the prophets." 29. He continued by questioning them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered, said to them, "You are the Christ. You are the Christ." Peter accepted Christ is the Messiah. But these false teachers, they reject Christ is the Messiah. Not only they rejected the Messiah, they rejected Savior, the Savior. Matthew chapter 1 verse 21 says, "She will bear a son who will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Jesus, the name actually means Savior. In Hebrew, Joshua. Joshua means the Lord is salvation. So Jesus is Savior. Savior is born. That's why we are enjoying. We are very joyful because of our salvation. Savior has come. Luke chapter 2 verse 10 says, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord.'" Christ the Lord. We know that Jesus is the Savior, brothers and sisters. But these false teachers, they reject Jesus. They reject Savior. They don't want salvation. They don't want Savior, but they want their gain. They want their gain. So many will worship Mary. You know, you came from, many of you came from Roman Catholic background. So many will worship Mary. They believe that, they believe in the sinlessness of Mary. Here Mary said, "My Savior," she needs Savior. But Roman Catholics will reject Jesus. They worship Mary. They don't need Savior, they need Mother of Jesus. These are the false teaching. They followed false teaching. They are listening false teaching. Because of that, they are following those traditions, those sins, rejecting the Savior. Brothers and sisters, a disciple's association with Jesus must be relation between servant and master. They are rejecting, false teachers are rejecting Lordship of Jesus. They are rejecting Messiah. They are rejecting their Savior. 1 John chapter 2 verse 22 says, "Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ?" This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. Brothers and sisters, you must accept Jesus Christ. Otherwise, you will be Antichrist. You are following false teachings. Brothers and sisters, we must serve him. If you think Jesus is the Lord, only Master, we must uphold his Lordship by serving him, by obeying his commandment, by fighting for the faith in danger, by humbling ourselves, thinking that we are nothing compared to Jesus Christ, before Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, I am going to conclude. We must fight for the faith, sound doctrine. We have seen three strong reasons. I am reading one book, The Doctrine of Lesser Magistrates. In that book, I'm reading with Pastor Sammy. He is teaching me something based on that book. So in that, I'm reading Emperor Charles V, after Lutheran Reformation. We don't know what happened, but something happened. I'm going to tell that one. Emperor Charles V imposed the law on May 15th, 1548. This law was an attempt to force Protestants back under traditional Roman Catholics' beliefs, practices, rule. You all should come under Roman Catholic beliefs. He imposed that law. Only one city in all of Germany stood against the law, that is Magdeburg. They upheld God's law, word, and gospel, while all the rest of Christians went along with Charles V orders to preserve their life. The alone city which stood in opposition was the Magdeburg. As tensions mounted, the pastors of Magdeburg wrote a defense of their position for standing in defense of Charles V. They published their confession, defense of the pastors and other ministers of the Church of Magdeburg, in April 1550. This document later became referred to simply as the Magdeburg Confession. Pastors in Magdeburg refused to submit to the emperor. Their conscience was resolved because of their love to Christ, their understanding of his word. Do you know, in that time, more than 400 pastors were killed. More than 400 pastors were killed. They fought. They fight for the faith. They stood with Martin Luther's doctrine, that is biblical doctrine. God may help us to stand for the Christ, to fight for sound doctrine in our life. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for sending your Son to the world to save us. Lord, you gave joy to these sinners. But Lord, help us to live for you. Lord, help each and every one of us to fight for the sound doctrine. Lord, there are many false teachers. They came into the church. They were unnoticed. Lord, help us to identify them. Help this church to run away from these false teachers, their teachings. Lord, help us to cling sound doctrine. Stand for that. Lord, help us to uphold Christ's glory in our life, in all the situations. Bless us, Lord. We are weak. You know that. Lord, give that courage to stand for the sound doctrine, to live for the sound doctrine. In Jesus' name I pray.